Today, we're going to be talking about probably some of the most debated verses throughout the whole scriptures. Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
In part four of our series, our last installment of this particular series, 10 Kings, the Antichrist, and the New World Order, we stopped just as we had gotten to what is undeniably, I would think, the most debated verses, at least in Daniel, if not in the entire Bible, Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. Now, in these verses, a timeline of sorts is revealed to Daniel about the entirety of what has become known as the times of the Gentiles, which was first introduced to us in Daniel 2 and expanded on more in Daniel 7. Let's take a look at the verses in question, Daniel 9, 24 through 27. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make an atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. And again, that was Daniel 9, 24 through 27, and that particular version was the New American Standard Bible. Now, the man in this particular section, Gabriel, presents this information to Daniel in terms that he can understand based on his own knowledge and current understanding of the Mosaic Law. Daniel would realize immediately that the 70 weeks spoken of by Gabriel reminds him of Leviticus 25, 8 through 12, as we referenced previously in part 3 of this series. Now, in that scripture passage, verse 8 provides the actual meaning of what Gabriel means by weeks. Quote, "You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall be 49 years. If 7 weeks in the above passage from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8 equals 49 years, then obviously 70 weeks would refer to a larger number. In fact, if we use the same math applied in the Leviticus passage, 70 weeks in the Daniel passage would logically refer to a total of 490 years. Few Bible scholars disagree with this because it is so clearly apparent. Now, among those who do agree that 70 weeks equals 490 years, there are some scholars who also believe that the entirety of the 490 years or the 70 weeks has already been completely fulfilled, and all of it lies in our past from our vantage point today. Now, if this is true, then there is nothing left of Daniel 9 that has anything to do with our present or even the future. It's all done. It's all behind us. It's all historical. Therefore, any discussion of it is essentially just a completely fulfilled prophetic lesson, but complete history in nature. Now, is there a way to know for certain? I believe there is. And as often is the case in scripture, it is left up to only very few individual words that are almost buried in the text of Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Gabriel, as I mentioned, is speaking here, and he's talking about 3 separate and distinct periods or weeks of time. He first starts out by stating that the entire time period he is referring to will total 70 weeks or 490 years. That we clearly understand from verse 24. He provides a general summation of what will happen during the entire 490 years. And please notice, it's very important that Gabriel is talking to Daniel about Daniel's people. He says, your people and Daniel's holy city, your holy city. That's from the text. Please remember that Daniel had just been praying for his people, Jews, the land of Israel, and Jerusalem. This was what was in Daniel's mind and prayer. And Gabriel was sent to respond to that particular prayer. Now, in effect, Gabriel is confirming to Daniel that the answer he brings does relate to Jewish people, Israel, and Jerusalem. The first distinct period of weeks is seen in verse 25. There, Gabriel mentions a period of 7 weeks, which turns out to be 49 years, following the mathematical formula given to us in Leviticus 25. And that is immediately followed by 62 weeks, or 434 years, which run consecutively. There is no break. It's very important to realize this. He says, Gabriel says, quote, from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 32 weeks. Though two separate periods of time, they run one immediately after the other for a total of 483 years. 49 years plus 434 years equals 483 years. Now, the third and final installment of the 70 weeks, or the 490 years, is the actual 70th week, which equals 1 week, quote unquote, or 7 years, and it is yet to come. Now, before we get to that final week, let's see what Gabriel says is going to happen during the first set of 7 weeks, or 49 years, and the second set of 62 weeks, which is 434 years. Essentially, Gabriel tells Daniel that from the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there would be 2 weeks divisions, but would total together 483 years, 7 weeks, 49 years, plus 62 weeks, or 434 years. That equals 483 years. Now, if you go to my website, studygrownoblog.com, you can see some of the charts I've included with these articles. And as I indicate on one of the charts that's just simply labeled Daniel chapter 9, basically what we've got here, there are a total of 4 Persian decrees. And the most probable decree issued was the one created by Artaxerxes in 445 BC, when Nehemiah was granted permission to go to Jerusalem to begin rebuilding the wall and Jerusalem itself. Now, the second subdivision, or 62 weeks, equaling 434 years, was a time when God was virtually silent and represents the time between the two testaments, the intertestamental period, from the last word of God in the Old Testament to the birth of Messiah in the New Testament. And note that the other chart, there's another chart that I've included there as well in this same article, that details the exact number of days from the issuing of the decree in 445 BC to the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. We read about that in Zechariah chapter, I believe it's 9, 9, and 10, or it's 10, 9, and 10. Now, in between these two points is a total of 173,880 days, which equals 483 years. And that, of course, is based on the Jewish calendar, where 1 year equals not 365 days, but 360 days. Now, in effect, this amount of time covers the first two divisions of the 70 weeks, the first 7 sevens and the second 62 sevens. This leaves 1 7, or period of 7 years, left to go. Has it happened yet? Has it all been fulfilled? Well, when the three separate subdivisions of weeks are clearly seen, what is known as the gap between the weeks, between two of those subdivisions, comes into focus. Now, from the start of the restoration project of Jerusalem with Nehemiah until the Messiah entered Jerusalem riding the colt of a donkey, a total of 483 years transpires consecutively without a break. God's silence to Israel does not constitute a break or gap. Time was still counted downward as far as the weeks were concerned. God's silence only meant he had nothing to say to Israel until Messiah was born. Then he began speaking to Israel and the world again, once again, through God the Son. Up until that time, since he spoke his last word to the last prophet in the Old Testament, he would not speak again until he did so through God the Son. And of course, John the Baptist came as a precursor to announce the coming of the Messiah. God was getting ready to speak again to the nation through his Son. So if there is a break or gap in the time period God has allotted for the times of the Gentiles, where is it? Or is it just something people have made up to try to make their preconceived theology square with Scripture? Quote, then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. Notice the words in the verse I just read. Then, after the 62 weeks. This is alerting us to the time immediately following the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem when that ends, the second set of sevens, or the 62 sevens. After that period of time, the Bible is going to tell us that several things happen. What are they? Messiah will be cut off and has nothing. The people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, and desolations are determined. So there's several things. Five things I just mentioned that are going to happen after the second period of sevens, or the 62 sevens, ends. And it is important to understand that this happens after the 62 weeks, that second period of time, comes to a conclusion. Now, I've grouped those together under three headings on another chart that, again, you can see in my article on this same time that we're talking about right now. So you can go to my webpage, Study Grow Know blog, and there's a couple of charts in there that are very important. At least I think that they're very important. The one is called The Program, Purpose, and Meaning of the 77s of Daniel 9. And then the second one is simply regarding chapter 9 and the 173,880 days and how that's concluded. So it's very important that you look at those. If you're a visual learner, they're there for your benefit. Now, what's interesting here is a failure to grasp the truth about these separate sevens will create erroneous conclusions. Again, these five things that I mentioned are to occur after the second set of sevens, but they will also occur before the start of the final week, or the 70th week. How do we know that? Well, I'll tell you in just a minute. After the end of the 62 week, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem to the shouts of Hosanna, several days later, he would be cut off or crucified. Is it part of the final or 70th week? There are several other things also occurring after the 62 weeks, as I mentioned in the list above that I just kind of read to you, those five things. Notice the text speaks of the people of the prince who is to come. They're going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. In AD 70, the Romans or Gentiles attacked and destroyed much of Jerusalem. The Jewish temple was also destroyed during that attack, and over a million Jews perished in that attack. This occurred roughly 40 years after Jesus' life ended and he was resurrected and ascended into heaven. So think about something. If the final week of 7 years had occurred there, it would already be over and done with, and we would be looking back at it. The other thing that was decreed to occur after Messiah was crucified and beyond the 62 weeks time frame was the end, which was to come with a flood, and there would be wars and desolations until the end. And I believe that's referring to something a little bit different than the first end, unless referring to an actual body of water. the end and flood in the Bible refers usually to a military action. The context of that verse in verses 24 through 27 has to do with wars and desolations. The end of Jerusalem and the sanctuary occurred with a flood of Roman legions sacking Jerusalem. That happened in AD 70. And since the sacking of Jerusalem then, there have been continued wars and conflicts there. And scripture tells us that these will continue until the end of this particular age, the age in which we are living. It will end purposefully brought to an end by the physical return of Jesus. In fact, this age will end with the buildup to a very final war called Armageddon, as we read about in Revelation 16. This war is solely designed, get this, this war is solely designed by Satan through the Antichrist, as the Antichrist implements Satan's plans and his world forces for this purpose. This is what they're going to try to do. They're trying to keep Jesus from returning to this earth. If you can believe that, that's the goal. Satan's efforts will fail miserably, 2 Thessalonians 2. This is the big reason why Satan has to work so hard at creating a one-world government where he can install his spiritual son, Antichrist, in Jerusalem or near Jerusalem to be the final ruler of the times of the Gentiles, the revised Roman Empire. He does this to gain control over all the world's troops, and together with Satan's power and the power of his angels, demons, working through all these human beings and leaders and soldiers, they are actually going to try to keep Jesus from returning. That is the goal. Keep Jesus out, because if they can successfully keep Jesus out from returning, then Satan can continue ruling the earth through his son, Antichrist. But we know, because the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, that when Jesus returns, he is going to destroy the Antichrist with a word, with the breath of his mouth. At that time, Jesus will also judge the nations. He will take Satan and put him in the pit for 1,000 years. Satan has no chance, but because of his hubris, this is what he is going to try to do. Now, getting back to the text, the term desolations normally refers to a trampling of what God considers holy, like, for instance, the Jewish temple. This constitutes sacrilege when Gentiles go into areas of the temple they're not allowed to go, or when Jews do things inside the temple that are also not allowed, as we've read in Ezekiel and other parts of the Old Testament, where they actually worshiped pagan gods. Since the temple was destroyed in AD 70, the Temple Mount itself has become the site of now 3 separate Islamic mosques. Today, anyone can walk or trample where the Holy of Holies once stood in Jerusalem. Now, the fact that these Gentile houses of worship have been built on an area God dedicated to himself represents a continuing desolation, since the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, has always been a special area as far as God is concerned. It's where Abraham would have sacrificed his promised son Isaac if not stopped from doing so. It's where he intended to do that. It is where Jesus was crucified. The desolations occurring there will continue even into the tribulation period. Now remember, these things occurred after the end of the 62 weeks. There's been no notification that the last final week has begun yet. Are we still in that period of time between the end of the 62nd week and the start of the final week, which begins in verse 27? Or has the final week come and gone? Is this just an abject lesson in prophecy and history? We'll discuss that next time. And thanks a lot for joining me. And in the meantime, until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.